Okay. Okay, Councilor Smith's running a little late, so we're going to get started with the meeting because we do have delegations to be heard. So we will get started. And the first person we have is Stefan Epp to speak regarding a food policy council, establishment of food policy.
Thank you very much, first of all.
Do you want to come and where do you want to sit?
Sure. Well, I've got a computer.
You got your all
here,
set up there.
So perfect. I might as well just be here. I've got these for the councilors. So thanks very much for having me today. I'm here to speak on behalf of a broader group that's been working for the last several months on the issue of a food policy council for Winnipeg and what that might look like and what the benefits of that might be. And these groups across the city have come to recognize that developing a food policy council would be an effective way to address some of the food security issues that we're seeing in our city. And the timing for this is really good because there's a lot of interest around food issues. A couple months ago, there was a food security consultation as part of the Speak Up Winnipeg process. Over 70 people attended. There was a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and ideas that were generated during that session. So I just wanted to briefly talk about, first, why is food an important issue for the city? First, health and nutrition. There are lots of issues around the health related to the food that we eat. I guess the old maxim is true. We are what we eat. Also issues around poverty, particularly in the city center neighborhood. We see issues of poverty affecting access to food. There are also lots of municipal planning issues that are related to food. Some of these could include zoning issues, for example, around community gardens, or issues such as access to retail food outlets. You'll notice that in core neighborhoods, there are often fewer retail grocery stores, and so this limits the options for those with lower incomes. Agriculture, both the farmers outside our city that support our economy here in Winnipeg, but also those engaged in agriculture right here in the city, right from small container gardens and apartment buildings right on up to larger urban agriculture. The economy, 1 in 7 jobs in Manitoba are directly related to food and agriculture, and that number is roughly the same in Winnipeg. The environment, both how food is produced, but also, and perhaps most importantly for the city, what we do with the food waste, what we do with the food after it's done being consumed. And then finally, community and culture. Food is something that can bring people together. In a city like Winnipeg, we have so many vibrant food cultures from around the world. And food is a way to bring all these cultures together. So we came up with this idea of a food policy council. This is something that's been tried on other Canadian cities and is working very well there. A food policy council would be composed of community members and city representatives from the city. These can include people such as health workers, community organizations, farmers, food retailers or businesses, municipal employees, and other concerned citizens around the issue of food. And what a food policy council would do would be to provide a food security lens for municipal policy decisions. So it could provide feedback and advice to the city when decisions are being made around the effect that those decisions will have on food security. And what it would also do is it would create a hub for coordinating municipal food security work. One thing that we find is that food does not fit nicely into any departmental box, either in the city or at any other level of government. And as a result, it sometimes falls through the cracks. So this would be a way to bring people together, both from different departments within the city, but also linking those members of the departments with members of the community. And it could also engage in public education on food issues to raise awareness among community members. And quickly, the benefits of a food policy council. So it shares key knowledge on an important issue. It gets knowledgeable people together with expertise on food security and can share that expertise with the city, with the city staff, and can also share that information with community members. And it addresses community food concerns, and these concerns are wide-ranging from issues around poverty right through to issues around land use. It encourages citizen involvement in the food system. It gets people engaged, creates links between community members and City Hall. And it fosters cooperation between municipal departments. So we see both a kind of a vertical linkage between City Hall and the citizenry, but also horizontally between members of the city itself. And finally, this is an important time to act on this issue of food. Not only are lots of people interested in the issue of food now, but municipalities across Canada, indeed around the world, are acting on food security to address some of these concerns that we've mentioned today. Cities such as Toronto and Vancouver currently have food policy councils that have been longstanding, and other cities are addressing food security as well through various plans. So what I wanted to do today, I'm joined by Audrey Logan, who will be talking about some of the concerns she is seeing in her community, and then I will wrap up briefly at the end.
Nice to meet you. My name is Audrey Logan. I'm a grower in West Broadway area. And I've been there quite a number of years. I've been growing productively for the past 3 and also mentoring at different schools on food and the history of food and how to grow it. And seeing quite a need in our neighborhood for more gardens, more access to municipal lands, and also getting more definition on what exactly is foods. As a traditional grower, I have some people who are in contention with some of the things I grow because they label them as weeds, where a food policy would help to hopefully eliminate that mistaken identity of it, and also connecting the municipalities or the city workers to also know what is not a weed, what isn't, what is foodstuffs. For a lot of the plants and things in the neighborhood that everyone just so desperately needs it. And Spirit Park went in a few years ago, and it gets utilized even through the winter. Today I gave a workshop there with Gordon Bell High School, and we protected some plants, taught about ecology and about the foods that they're eating, got to serve them up a nice cake made from sunflower flour. So using it as a teaching tool has been fantastic. Gift from there again, land use, utilizing the land at the neighborhood center, excuse me, that they so graciously allowed me to use to grow, and in return I offer up a free workshop. But without that land use and with having so much other land available, so why not? We can't have a garden on every corner, and thus it does help with getting rid of the stigma of poverty. And not being able to feed your family. One can feed one's family very easily on a very small plot of land. I can go on and on. So we'll
thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we believe that a food policy council would serve as a good step for the city to begin addressing some of these issues, whether they're land use issues or poverty issues, like she mentioned. Whether they're issues of health, municipal planning, urban agriculture, the economy, the environment, the list that food affects just goes on and on and on. What we've done is provide you with a booklet that we put together outlining what some other Canadian municipalities have done on the issue of food and providing a lot of positive examples of steps that cities around Canada have taken on food security issues. But we believe at this time that a food policy council would help Winnipeg become a more food secure city, and would help change and affect policies over the long term to make that a reality. So thank you very much for your attention today.
Thank you.
Okay, any questions?
That was excellent. Yes, I was just wondering, now I know that this recommendation of creating this council was brought up in the Speak Up Winnipeg process, is it something they are in fact looking at including in that, I think, from that report, or do you know, have you heard any feedback from where they're at?
Maybe part of the call to action.
It was part, yeah, that's what I thought. I recall it was in part of the call to action, so it is something we are seriously looking at in that process. Because I guess I'm just trying to determine any action you're sort of expecting from this committee at this point. I mean, would it make sense for us to just follow through the plan and process, or are you sort of hoping we would get something, try to get something going sooner than that?
I mean, I think probably in sort of the optimal situation, it would be best to get things started before then, not knowing how the Plan Winnipeg process ends up working out. But I think, I mean, it's good to have it going through that track, but I think it's also important to have support from the counselors as well.
Yeah. And have you given much thought to sort of the structure of what this council, like who would be on it? Would you have other levels of government too, or other community groups? Like how would, have you put together any suggestions for a structure for it? Or, or is it just sort of...
I guess that's something that we haven't gone to in too much detail. If you look at sort of the other food policy councils that are in existence, those we made up of people from the health sector, made of people from sort of community organizations that are working on food issues. They'd be made up of people in food businesses or food retail or other sort of food operations like that. Could involve representatives from other levels of government, perhaps, because there are so many linkages that link the different levels of government. So it might be important to have people there around that table to facilitate that. But that's not something we've gone into in too much detail.
Because I'm just trying to think through, you know, what our next steps would be, whether we'll do something today or not, or maybe we should, I might want to sit down with myself personally. I'm really interested in this, and I'm sure I know Councillor Smith without even seeing the presentation. I know Councillor Smith is interested too, and I imagine Councillor Orlico too. So maybe we could have like a subsequent meeting to talk about it further. That might be the best course of action, rather than just sort of winging some motion to start something. So we've kind of worked out on it a bit more, but I think there's a lot of interest in it. This committee, I would just guess, just from knowing these people. So, thanks very much for coming and informing us about it. And we'll be in touch with you. I will be in touch with you. Or maybe Paul or whoever, which one is in the lead here, can send me an email. And
we'll work it out. We'll work it out.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thank
good
you.
Stuff. Thank you.
I'm wondering, I haven't heard the presentation, but I don't have the material that you sent. But I'm wondering, is this based? This formed in Winnipeg with the things that we should be doing with the food council, with the food committee. I'm talking about things like develop a city staff position to be filled by a food security specialist, incorporate green agriculture into a green building code. I don't know what that means, but you know, there's all these things that you've got in your literature that you'd like to see happen. And I'm wondering if these are, if you adopted these from Toronto or Vancouver, or did these come up, were built here?
I believe the list you're looking at would have come from the community consultations that we held as sort of the first as part of Speak Up Winnipeg, but also some further follow-up conversations that we had around these issues. So these would have all been suggestions made fully on what's happening in Winnipeg.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Any further questions?
Karen Jones, City Municipal Association.
Yeah.
Can I take a seat?
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. Good evening, councillors, and good evening, food policy lobbyists. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Bishop Grandin Greenway, and we've got a few concerns with this, but on the overall, there's lots of very, very good points in it. However, some of them might be more well-directed to the province. But I just want to deal with two points that Bishop Grandin Greenway would like to bring up. But before I do, it might be a good idea to make a distinction between agriculture and horticulture. And that's just a very simple distinction. A cup of canola is worth less than a cup of blueberries. So agricultural crops tend to be seed crops that are produced on a massive scale, while horticultural crops, I think this is talking more about horticultural crops. In the policy priorities, which you probably all have a copy of, we see that on under creating a sense of community, point number 3, promote community gardens by making them a stable place in city infrastructure through land tenure, by zoning community gardens as parks, and by providing funding to develop a targeted number of community garden plots by 2012. This would be achievable probably if we had a tabula rasa, but we're going into a situation where we have tons and tons of community gardens that are not on city-owned property, or if they are on city-owned property, there are reasons they cannot be zoned PR. Zoning community gardens as parks would exclude all of the gardens on hydro right-of-ways, including Bishop Grand and Greenway. Fife gardens, which are extensive, they're almost a kilometer long, Burroughs, Chevrier. It would exclude gardens on railway right-of-ways like Burlington Northern. It would exclude school gardens, which there are lots and lots of. It would exclude gardens on Manitoba housing property. There's a lot of them. Just in this area, there's ERCOM. Out in St. Patel, there's Woodydell, Marlene Street. 60 Francis has a big community garden that would be excluded because it's on provincially owned land. It would exclude gardens on church property, and it would exclude gardens on community and neighborhood center land, which is zoned residential. It would exclude, for example, the garden that is now being planned for Thunderbird House. Speaking about community gardens and their ability to produce food, they do produce food, but speaking with the city's community garden coordinator at Public Works, we have both noted that if you walk through community gardens in October, you notice tons of produce rotting on the ground. It's really not harvest. And that's because community gardening is primarily a leisure activity in Winnipeg at this time. It may develop into something else, and it can easily develop through the skills of people who do leisure gardening. But if people do want to do leisure gardening, then they should be permitted to do so. And one of the things in this food security that has kind of rung a bell for a while is the utilitarian kind of motive that follows it, that people should be producing food. Now, in the North End, a couple of years ago, we saw food gardeners or people who wanted to grow peonies, and they got into a huge argument. Our garden split up. One group said, we're going to only do ornamentals, and the other one said, okay, that's good. We're going to do only vegetables. So what happened was that whole thing fell apart. But I've been a gardener for a long time, and gardens, while food security should be and can be an important part of community gardens, there is no reason why it should be the most important part or the part that actually determines what's going to be going on in a garden. And if I can, I'll just read to you here a little from this book called The Education of a Gardener by Russell Page, probably the foremost garden designer in the 20th century. He died in 1997. Stop me if I run out of time, I know you will. Tree planting in a public park requires careful thought. The restraint I would exercise in almost any other context does not seem to be valid in this case. My aim would be to create an illusion and to use every variation of form and color and every texture of foliage to further the sense of remoteness and, if you like, magic at which I should like to aim. By magic, I would not infer a dazzling confusion of vegetation or Sylvian Disneyland. You can endow any site with magic if you are quite certain of the pictorial aspect you want to achieve, and even the least promising site holds in itself its own possibilities. Look and look again. Note, and then put on one side the different elements you will have to incorporate. Later, when you reach that stage, they will reemerge to shape your thinking and your composition. Meanwhile, you must go on looking and give your feelings as well as your mind access to the problem. Remember that one of your aims must be to lift people, if only for a moment, above their daily preoccupations. Even a glimpse of beauty outside will enable them to make a healing contact with their own inner world. Nor must you ascribe such an idea to sentimentality. It is one most valid reason and justification for gardens and for gardeners. So gardens do serve a lot of purposes. There will come a time when they will be feeding people. At that time, gates will be around them and the community will not be allowed to access them. They will be off limits to all but the holiest of the holies. But certainly I think the interest in community gardens, the interest in food security and developing citizenship which is capable and has the talents and knowledge to be able to grow their own food and to teach others how to do it is certainly an important thing. From what comes out of this, I think, and I am going to ask City Center Community Committee to contact the property planning and development and ask them to bring out again the community garden policy, which was approved but not adopted, I believe, about 4 years ago. So if you could do that, we could look at that community garden policy with in mind incorporating some of these suggestions and priorities that have been identified by the community. But certainly there's a lot of, when I know downtown, it's a different situation with the land, but there are probably two-thirds more community gardens which are on non-city owned land. And to say, once again, this came up in a policy when we were talking community gardens about 4 or 5 years ago, that community gardens should be on city-owned land. And certainly some of them are. Some of them are parks. Some of them were made and then a conditional variance put on them that they would be parks. Some community gardens, like Chachanoff Park, were already, Chachanoff Park was already existing and a community garden was developed in it. There's also, which we don't know the difference, adopt a park. And you can adopt a park and make a garden on an adopt a park, but what is the difference between doing that and having a community garden that's named a park? So these are some considerations, I think, which we can add to this comprehensive food policy priorities. And hopefully we can get the community garden policy out again and take a look at it. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move by Councilor Jabassi that the minutes of the meeting held November 3rd, 2009, be taken, read, and confirmed. All those in favor, opposed, carried. Appointment to the Secretary Committee.
I was wondering who's been on it.
Who's been on the last number? It's Harvey.
I'm on it now.
Yes.
You did a great job.
Well, I know. I mean, I
pat
myself on the back all the time.
Do you
want to
be on it, John?
I think
it's your turn, isn't it?
It depends if there are turns.
Well, normally
there.
We rotate.
Yeah, we rotate.
We rotate. But who did it? I guess, did I do it last year? Well, anyways, it should be either John or I, probably.
Yeah, I think John.
You know what, John? Why don't you say you'll do it, and then if you can't make it, just let me know and I'll go.
Okay, done.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind. I'm right across the hall. Oftentimes I have
sandwich.
To step in.
Either of us can fill in.
But if you don't.
John, either of us can fill in.
Okay, well, you can.
But
okay.
We just want to have someone from City Center there.
Absolutely.
So just let us know if you can.
Done. Okay.
All righty.
Okay. Moved by Councilor Jabassi that Councilor Roderick will be appointed to represent City Center. All
so
those
moved.
In favor? Opposed, carried. Item 2, occasional liquor permit, Crescentwood Community Center, River Heights, or carry.
John moves.
John moves it? All those in favor? Opposed, carried.
Quietly. Oh.
Item 2 is just to receive some information.
I move receipt of information for item 3, the resignation of some members of the library advisory committee.
The next item will be
okay, all those in favor, opposed, carried.
Now, and we have some applications in front of us which we haven't had time to look at and we're supposed to decide right now.
people are people that are already sitting, but their terms are up.
Who are those two?
James Fudge.
Okay. Okay, well, are we supposed to appoint four in total?
Four in total.
Well, why don't we? Well, definitely let's appoint the two that are there now, Harvey, right?
Yeah.
Do you know these people?
Yeah.
So the two that are there now are good?
Yeah.
Ken Bass, but we have to pick two more.
Yes. And Jane Fudge.
Ken Bass and Jane Fudge, for sure. Okay, but what are the other two?
We have two more, don't we?
We have
There's
more than two more.
Other applications?
Judy?
Where do I have?
So Judy Wakefield, Michael Keenan, and Atara Wallace.
Okay. Michael Keenan, yeah.
Let's just take a minute, look at them.
Let's just take a look at them maybe for... Is there any geographical reasons, like do we want to have people from a variety of neighborhoods? Or, like, I don't know who's already there. I don't know how they Harvey, you're on the library board. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, she has some good experience.
Ken Bass sounds good to me.
Pardon?
Ken Bass.
We've already appointed Harvey. Yeah. He's already on there, so we have to pick two others.
And we've already picked him. Ferrara Wallace is with Department of Ed, Instruction Resource Unit, Library.
Okay, so she sounds pretty good. This Mike Keenan doesn't really have anything here, actually. So why don't we pick the other two that have more detailed references?
Judy.
Harvey?
Yeah.
Judy
so,
and Atara?
Judy Wakefield and Atara Wallace is what we're recommending then. Plus the other two
Judy
that are already
Wakefield.
There.
Who's the other one?
Atara Wallace.
Oh, okay.
So there's our four. So moved.
Okay, let me just check.
You want to look at them some more?
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, carried. It's actually good that we have some people.
Mm-hmm. That is good.
Yeah.
Okay, you moved that. Bassey, all in favor, opposed, carried. For Cabinet Grant.
Calvin High School. So moved to the amendment.
Okay.
How much?
$346.40.
Okay. That'll be my question. All those in favor, opposed, carried. Item 6, Linden Ridge Park Residence Group, River Heights.
So moved.
So moved. All those in favor, opposed, carried. Linden Woods Community Center.
So moved.
300?
Yep.
All in favor, opposed, carried. Riverbend Plaza Seniors Group.
Yeah, I'll move 500.
Okay.
Yeah.
All in favor, opposed, carried. Walker Avenue Block Party.
So moved as written there.
Okay, all in favor, opposed, carried.
So moved.
$1,000,000?
Yep.
All those in favor, opposed, carried. River Heights Community Center.
So moved.
Okay, moved by Councilor Oracle. All those in favor, opposed, carried. Item 12.
Okay, now what I've done here is I've moved these two.
Yeah.
Which is 704.55. I'm going to be moving this one, so whatever I have left, which I figured out was about 750.
I'll double check.
You just double check the amount. That's how much I'm going to move to West Broadway Snowball Carnival, so around 750. So I'm moving.
All those in favor, opposed, carried. Item 13, Sir John Franklin Community Center.
So moved.
Moved by article. All those in favor, opposed, carried. Before we go on, I want to comment on the that we just did the snow.
The snowball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is a snowman called in the summer?
I don't know. A man? Oh, a puddle. A puddle. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Okay. Request item number 15. Request for
approval. I thought I was going to be in trouble there.
Item 14.
So moved.
Okay, all those in favor, opposed, carried.
Well, this is the food policy. Now, I will discuss it with the people. I would suggest we just receive those information right now, and I'd like to meet with them some more, and perhaps we can, anyone else who wants to join me on that. But I think we need to flesh it out a little more in terms of
how. Yeah, I'd like to know, for example, how they function in Toronto and Vancouver. You know, like, what have they done?
Well, ultimately, I think if we were going to move a motion forward, we'd have to have the department look into and get a lot of information.
Yeah.
But I'm just sort of saying, even before we move a motion to get in the system, I'd like to get a sense of how they envision it being formed rather than just going off and moving some motion.
I think that they're, you know, what they've outlined is pretty extensive. It's not something simple.
It's not simple, but, you know, it's supported by the Our Winnipeg Initiative action report or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
mentioned in there. So I think it's something that could happen. I think it's quite exciting. It's really good. Like, it won't happen necessarily exactly as, you know, they're talking about,
but
something could happen.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. So
yep.
move for receive the information.
Yep.
Yep.
All those in favor, opposed, carried. Item 16. No party.
Review.
Okay, here comes the fun part. Yeah.
Yeah, are you moving that?
Yeah. Which one?
Oracle?
16.
16, yeah.
Move the vote. Move the report.
What are you moving?
We're referring to the Winnipeg Public Service.
Oh, referring it to the public service.
Okay, item 17, speed limit on Grant Avenue.
So do we accept the report and then go on the motion?
If you concur with the report, we have to go to the Senate Policy Committee on Infrastructure Renewal Public Works. They would authorize the department then to apply to the Manitoba Highways Act to make the change.
Okay. So, based upon my review, based upon the fact that I believe that the street actually is so cut up already, which is unfortunate and it's a problem, but based upon my review of the street usage, especially with all the schools and the parks and the daycares that are stretched down that street, I believe that the appropriate is, I do not concur.
Okay.
So leave it as is.
Okay.
And it stops at community.
Could you take the chair, Councilor Dubasic?
Sure. On the next item?
No, on item 17.
On Grant.
Okay. Yeah.
I've received 3 or 4 emails. I've got rid of most of them, but this one I want to read out to you. I just heard on the radio that the speed limit on Grant between Stafford and Kenniston may be increased to 60 kilometers per hour. As a parent of a student at Grant Park High School, I strongly oppose this move. As others have noted, the traffic will travel even faster than 60 kilometers per hour then. We live in Wolseley. When many of the area children enter grade 7, they leave the safety of our quiet neighborhood for schools like Grant Park. We want to ensure their safety. A move to increase the speed limit on Grant does not do this. As well, I have watched seniors already having trouble crossing Grant to go to and from Grant Park Mall. The speed limit increase doesn't help them either.
Okay.
So all those in favor?
John's
not
definitely.
Not to concur.
We're there.
Okay.
Sorry, Gail.
No,
you'll have to pay your ticket.
Okay.
I could miss.
So moved.
Item 18. Okay, you moved it?
Yep.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
Can I move $500 for resource assistance for youth?
Okay.
That should be all.
There's Councillor Smith has a new business motion.
Sure.
It's $400.35 for per capita grant to the Free Gay Communities Association of Manitoba.
Good group.
All those in favor?
Smith moves that.
Okay, sorry.
And that's it, isn't it?
Councillor Smith has another one. It's a waiver of development application fees for the West End Biz for a sign, an encroachment sign. This would have to be forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
Okay, yeah.
Councillor Oracle on the chair, Councillor Smith moves that.
It's going to be for an entry to the West End.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really quite significant.
But the other committee has to decide. We just moves it forward to there, and then they'll decide, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like to appear in delegation at that committee?
Yeah.
They probably should,
Okay. And that's all I have for
adjourn.
That's it?
And that's it for now. See you at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, very quick,
eh? Hey?
Yeah.
We'll probably give them back to Josie. To Josie, yeah.